Amen. Appreciate Pastor Matt and working his way through that. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to take and go to the book of Esther. The book of Esther, and we want to look at chapter 4. As you know, I love hearing the Word of God. That's usually my practice every morning when I get up. I listen to the Word of God on my phone. And I also like reading the Word of God. Sometimes when we hear a message, we seem to gravitate towards a good story or an illustration. And sometimes we forget the main thing. And the main thing, of course, is the Word of God. And so whenever I preach through a book, I like to if you have your Bibles, go to Esther chapter 4. And I've entitled the message, Having Done All. Having Done All. As you know, the children of Israel have been taken captive, first of all, by the Babylonians and then by the Persians. You know, sometimes we think we have it rough, but I think if we were really to put ourselves in the place of these Jewish people through the centuries, we've not had it too rough. Even in the midst of a pandemic like this and with the restrictions in place, it's like Hebrews chapter 12 says, we've not yet resisted unto blood. And of course, as we look at this account here in Esther, these 10 chapters, we see that God's hand is quite evident in the affairs of man. Even as you look at certain circumstances and you don't see overtly God being recognized, we always need to understand that He is always at work. And as we go through the book of Esther, we should not lose sight of that. That even as we apply it to today, sometimes we wonder, where is God? How many prayers have gone up and asking God to release the restrictions, and yet they're still here, and we're saying, where is God? Where is God? Let me just say, on the authority of the Word of God, that God is at work. And His timing is different from our timing. In Isaiah chapter 55, it says that His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so He is far above us, and He knows everything that's going on. Praise His name. It says these words in Esther chapter 4, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth, and in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Verse 10 says, again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to him in unto the king, to come in unto the king these 30 days. and they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. One thing I believe that the events of life teach us is that this world is not our home. That song, that this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Any problems that you and I go through should really serve as a reminder that heaven is closer today than it was yesterday. And that's the great hope of the believer, is it not? In the events of this chapter, it should give us and serve as a reminder that many times, as I mentioned earlier, though God seems to be unseen, He is still working. And this is the faith walk that many people talk about. You see, for some of us, our faith is being tested. It's the reality of, or the genuineness of, our faith is being shown. It's being shown to yourself, being shown to fellow believers, but also being shown to the world. And I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. And the Bible says these words, and I want to read verses 13 and following. Of course, it mentions in this passage of Scripture, it mentions Abel, it mentions Enoch, it mentions Noah, it mentions Abraham, it mentions Sarah, and then it says these words. It says in verse 10, "For he looked," verse 13. He says, "These all died in faith." It says, "not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." In other words, they live their life in anticipation for what was to come. And really, that's how we are to live our life, in anticipation for what is to come. And heaven ultimately is what is to come. And better than that, Jesus is coming for us. And that's really what heaven's all about. Amen. Amen. That's right. He says these words. He says, "But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Folks, let's be reminded that this world is not our home. We are strangers here. We're just passing through. We shouldn't set our roots down so deep, because we're not staying here for very long. The Bible goes on to say, he says in verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Isn't that great? You know, he's not ashamed of us. We should not be ashamed of him. And I think that's one of the blessings of even tonight, or this morning as well, having folks come out like this. It shows that we're not ashamed of our Lord. I told Brenda, I said yesterday, I said, you know, this really is an illustration for me how that the world looks upon Christians as being a little bit daffy, a little bit short of a full load, I guess you could say. They look at us as being ridiculous. And the Bible talks about the foolishness of preaching. And so the world doesn't look at us as really having our act together. As one politician said years ago in the States, he says, "Oh, the Christians just use the Bible as a crutch." Oh, no, the Bible's not my crutch. It's my lifeline. And I appreciate so much the fact that we have a Bible that God has given to us. Amen. And yet I see here where this is a faith walk. Can you imagine living in these days of Mordecai and Esther? It was a faith walk for them. Here they were. They had the promises of God that they were His people, that He would watch over them. He would care for them. And they find themselves in this particular situation. And I want to pull out some points of interest from this chapter that I trust will be a blessing for us tonight. Number one, I see this. Mordecai and many of his fellow Jews immediately went into mourning with fasting because of the threats that had come down from Haman. Now understand, Haman hated the Jews. And you know, in Christianity, if we stand for Christ, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what the Bible says. And so the world, in some quarters, hates the Christian. And so here we find ourselves in this account here with Esther, where Haman hated Mordecai. Not only did he hate Mordecai and what he stood for, he hated all the Jews and put the wheels in motion to actually have all the Jews killed throughout the kingdom. Remember, 127 provinces. Remember, all the way from Pakistan and India, all the way up to the Sudan, that's how large the kingdom was. And yet they sent out this edict, the law of the Medes and Persians, which could not be altered or changed, that all the Jews at a certain time would be killed. And yet we find, rather than these people panicking, Mordecai, unashamed about who he was, he begins to mourn. That's why he puts on the sackcloth and the ashes, and he cries out because he's grieving for his people. He's grieving for his fellow Jews. And you know, when I was looking at this particular portion of Scripture, I thought, you know, we've done a lot of complaining, and I'm just as guilty as the next guy. It irritates me. It saddens me. I have a mix of emotions, to be sure. But at the same time, I see what they went through, and I say, has this driven me more to prayer? Has this driven me to sorrow for the cause of Christ? Has this driven me to my knees? Has this driven me to the Word of God? Has this driven me to our God? And I think that's something that we need to consider today. And the longer this has gone on, the tendency for us to grow cold in our faith, to grow cold in our passion for God and the things of God, increases. And we need to be careful of that. And here we see something being made right. These people have been in captivity for a reason. They have been disobedient. And here we find the wheels beginning to churn, beginning to be in motion. Remember, this event here with Esther happened between Ezra chapters 5 and 6. So if you go back, you remember that the children of Israel went back to Jerusalem to reestablish the altar. The altar, a symbol of the worship of God. Then they went back to not only reestablish the altar, but to rebuild the temple, to make sure that the heart of the people was in tune with their God once again. And may we be reminded that when things like this happen to us, we need to make sure that the altar of our heart is reestablished and is vibrant, and that we have really dedicated ourselves to the worship of our God. And so I see Mordecai, as he's going through this circumstance, he hears that the threat has come down and that the people will be killed at a certain time, he goes into mourning. He goes into mourning, and just the very fact of fasting was not just an outward show, because that would be mere hypocrisy, as we see of the Pharisees in the New Testament. But I believe that this was a time where he was seeking to stand for his God as well as get a hold of his God to bring about a deliverance for his people. And so I think it's interesting as we look at chapter 4 that he is taking these steps, and may we do the same. May we allow these circumstances to really impact our lives to where it draws us closer to God, not further away. Have more of a passion for God and his word and giving out the gospel than getting cool towards the things of God, because we become distracted with the other affairs of life and a different schedule. Number two, I see this. Don't be discouraged over those who don't stand. Some don't know better. And I was looking at this and I thought it was interesting here as you look at chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "So Esther's maids and chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not." Now look at verse 5. Very interesting. "Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was." There are a lot of people that don't understand what's going on. We who are Bible students know exactly what's going on. We're living in the last days. The last days are upon us. We know that our time is short. It's short just by virtue of the chronology of life, but it's also short because Jesus is coming again. We know that, but there are some people that are not informed. And so we need to keep that in mind and not be discouraged for those who are believers that don't seem to understand the signs of the times, that don't understand what's going on. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that we give them the Word of God. We need to make sure that we give them the authority of the Word. Look what happened in verse 8, I believe it says here, "And he gave him also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree." Now, he didn't give him a copy of the Bible, but what he did is he gave Esther, through Hatak, the edict that had been passed, the law that had been passed that gave credence for Haman to have all the Jews killed. And so he informed him as to what the situation was. We need to make sure that we inform people as to what the situation is. And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the things of God. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about the future. I'm talking about the great hope that's found only in Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. We must be able to give the world an answer. And that answer is found in the pages of Scripture. Be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. So don't be discouraged over those who don't stand. Some don't know better. And Esther was one of those. She didn't know what was going on, so she said, "Inform me." And let me just say, if you're listening by radio, not here in the parking lot, you're not a part of Pimlico Valley Baptist Church, or even if you are, if you have some questions about eternity, if you have some questions about heaven, if you have some questions about hell, if you have some questions about life, if you have questions about the will of God, let us try to find the answer for you in the Word of God. God has the answer. And so don't be discouraged over those who don't stand. Some don't know better. Number three, I see from this passage of Scripture that we should encourage fellow believers to stand. Look what it says here in verses 10 to 14. I won't read the entire passage, but it says here again, "Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And then Mordecai answers And he begins to tell Esther that she needs to grab hold of the opportunity that God has laid before her. And you know, I thought about this. Sometimes we are so quick as believers to find fault with other believers. And I believe we ought to live right. I believe we ought to live holy. I believe that there are some places we should go to and some places we should not go to. I believe that there are right kind of friends, and I also believe that there are wrong kind of friends. And I believe that we need to be discerning as to our walk with God. But you know, sometimes it's so easy for us to pick each other apart. We pick our faults apart. We find what's wrong with them, and they should be doing this, and they should be doing that, and they should be doing this, and they should be doing that. And I always think back about how patient God has been with me through the years, and how patient God is with me right now. And if He lets me live past this time, how patient He will continue to be with old Mike Sullivan. And I'm sure you could say the same in your life, that God has been ever patient with you. Amen. And what I see from this is we need to encourage one another in our walk with God. In other words, cheer each other on. I mean, when you see somebody doing right, let them know you appreciate them doing right. When you see somebody who maybe doesn't have all their T's crossed and their I's dotted, maybe when you see them doing right, you can give them a word of encouragement and say, "Look, I'm for you. You're doing good." And we need to encourage each other. And here I find that Mordecai and Esther are feeding off each other, so to speak, encouraging each other to take the stands that they need to take. And we should do the same. We need to help others see the big picture. What a blessing this was to me as I think about so many that, you know, we like to think that we have all of our act together, but we don't. I always make reference to this song, "He's Still Working on Me." If we were perfect, if we had all come to the unity of the faith mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, we'd already be in glory. But we're not there yet. And that means God's not finished conforming us into the image of His dear Son. He's not finished working on you. He's not finished working on me. And the only reason He has to work on us is because we need work. We need to be improved on. We need to be helped. And so one of the aspects of God helping us is He brings other people into our lives to help mature us and form us and make us more like Jesus. And that's an emphasis that we need to make in Christianity today. And so I want us to be encouraged that way, that we need to cheer each other on. We need to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ to just live for God. And when they're doing right, praise them for it. Then I see number 4, God has placed you here at this time to represent Him. I see that in chapter 4 and verse 14, where He says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" In 2 Corinthians, it talks about in chapter 5, us being ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative of someone else. In other words, he takes the place of someone else. We, as believers, are ambassadors for Christ. We are taking His place. We are representing Him right here. We're right here tonight representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And my encouragement for us tonight and tomorrow and the next day until Jesus comes is we need to represent Him well. And we need to keep that in mind. Are we representing Jesus? Well, are we truly salt? Are we truly light? Do we, as light, drive away the darkness? I trust we'll consider that. And then lastly, let me just say this. We ought to be willing to pay any price that needs to be paid for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what that means. I want to be willing. I want to put my all on the altar. And I know many of you do as well. But we ought to be willing. We talk about I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. That's what He desires for each and every one of us. I don't know what that might mean in your life. I don't know that I fully know what that means in my life ultimately. But I do want to surrender my all to Him. And for our last passage of Scripture, I'd like for us to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we need to understand that God gave His all for us. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that Jesus gave His very life for the sins of mankind. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, with the idea in mind of having done all to stand. The Bible here says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The book of Isaiah tells us that the old men will grow tired. Even the young men's strength will fail. And so we're told to not stand in our own strength and power because we get tired. But our God does not get tired. He says we need to stand in His strength and power of His might. Therefore, it says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Having done all, to stand. We have to ask ourselves, number one, have we done all? And are we willing, after having done all, to stand? The Bible goes on to say, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." That shield of faith is what we talked about when I went to Hebrews chapter 11. "Having not seen the promises, ye believe." In other words, the shield of faith for us is the promises found in the Word of God. It goes on to say, he says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." In other words, look out for everyone. Encourage everyone. Pray for everyone. He says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And having done all, to stand. I thank God that He put this little book of 10 chapters in the Bible, where God is not mentioned, but yet we see Him. And many times we go throughout life and we wonder where God is. My friend, God is right here. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And having done all, to stand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, We do thank you for your word. Lord, it's so rich. There's so much here. I've just pulled a few things out from the fourth chapter of the book of Esther, and I thank you for your word. Thank you for the comfort of the scriptures, the encouragement that it brings each and every one of us. And we thank you for the saints of old that now are experiencing glory with you forever. And one day we'll see them face to face. Lord, know that they pay the price that they paid so that we could be encouraged at this particular time. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this time to stand. May we be ambassadors for thee. May we be good representatives. Lord, we already saw where you're not ashamed of us. And Lord, I pray we wouldn't be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Matt.